Got title 2 weeks in a row, but it's prepare the way. I was thinking of Isaiah. The first verse I thought of was in Isaiah. It's prepare the way of the Lord. I'm going to read it here in a second, but I thought God had Isaiah preparing the way, what, almost 1,000 years before Jesus showed up, and sometimes we wonder why things don't happen suddenly. God prepares things a long ways ahead of time. This generation was been prepared by generations past. This generation was prepared by the Pentecostals that kept saying, you know, in the last days, God will pour out his spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. You'll speak in new tongues. You'll see signs in the heavens. I mean, all that stuff people have been believing for a long, long, long time. And I believe it's about to come to fruition, don't y'all? I said, I believe it's about to come to fruition, don't y'all? Really, I do. Oh, well, by the way, worship team, that was awesome. Awesome, we've gotten awesome. Somebody said the other day, them drums were sitting back here. I said, I don't know when we'll get a drummer. And I think it was Mike maybe said, hey, I love the sound of that. Ford does an awesome job on that beatbox, what do you call it, a beatbox? It's awesome. It sounds great. So thank y'all. Thank y'all for giving to the Lord. Isaiah 40, verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley will be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places will be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers. Say it. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Y'all know what that means? Really? Some of y'all are still beautiful. Everybody's beautiful in their own way, right? But when you're in your 20s, you think you're so beautiful. And believe me, I know now when you get in your 60s, it's like things start changing. Really, things start changing. And all that beauty of youth, and I'm not putting down being old. Praise God for getting old, because if you're not, you're going to leave a pretty corpse, right? So praise God for getting old. That's a gift from God. Gray hair is a gift from God. It's what the Word of God says. I was up here working, trying to clean stuff up yesterday, and I started in Psalms about halfway through Psalms. I could listen to it while I was working, and went all the way through Proverbs, went into Ecclesiastes. I'm like, man. I feel so wise after just sitting here. It's stuff I'd read before, but I thought, wow, you ought to continually pour that stuff into you. And you look at society, and you look at people that go the other way, and you go, wow, look what happens when you don't follow the ways of the Lord. Just look in the physical what happens. And look what happens in the physical when you do follow the ways of the Lord. God is so good. He is a man of his word, and he cannot lie, right? So prepare the way of the Lord. Matthew 3:1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his paths straight. You know it says, you'll level every mountain and build up every valley. And as I was reading that, I was thinking, I don't know if you've ever, back in the old days, back, especially where my mama and papa live, down in around Cambridge, Kentucky, and Upton, Kentucky, there's these roads, and they go, and I mean, there's some killer hills. I remember my dad used to go over the top of them, and whoop, mama would get mad, but he'd like to kind of jump them, you know. But you go down these big hills, and it's like you went around every property line, I guess. I mean, the road was not cut for performance, was it? Now, you look at an interstate, and you go down the interstate, and you got all these big mountains, and they've been blasted out and carved out, and they've made the way straight. They made the path straight. It's a safer path, right? You can get there quicker. More can get done. But he was speaking of getting the sin out. That's what he was talking about. Prepare the way of the Lord. Get the sin out. Get your life right. Get things straight with the Lord. Because when the presence of the Lord comes, it crucifies all that. It brings conviction. You know, when the Spirit of the Lord comes, there's always repentance, isn't there? There's a fear of the Lord comes upon us, right? It should, if you're truly in the presence of the Lord. No matter how close to the Lord you think you are, you still come up lacking. I said you still come up lacking. That's why at Brownsville, that's why at Toronto, that's why at Kansas City. That's because when you get in that environment, the natural thing to do is go repent and get things right. Not only because of the fear of the Lord, but you want to get closer and you don't want any blockages between you and God. Does that make sense? Prepare the way of the Lord. And I am getting to this time of year message somewhat, but that's pretty amazing. I'm going to read Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Isn't that something? The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and will call his name Emmanuel. What's that mean? God with us. Yes. Curds and honey he will eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse evil and choose the good, the land that you dread will be forsaken by both her kings. And I put down here how to prepare, and I like Hosea. This is, I know y'all know this verse, but it's Hosea 10:12-13. Sow for yourselves righteousness. What's that mean? What's sowing? Y'all ever plant grass seeds? Got one of them things that we did it back here on the bank, and it turned out good because we prepared the soil. Before, it was just thrown on there, and it had gullies in it in 6 months. But you know, in the old days, it went. They just threw it out. They prepared the soil. They disked it. Well, they didn't have disks in the day. But they turned over the soil. They plowed the soil. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap in what? Mercy. Break up your, what's fallow? Fallow ground. It's non-working. It's hard. It's unyielding. It cannot receive the seed, right? So break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. It is time. Listen, people, it is time to seek the Lord. It is time to seek the Lord. All the signs are there of his coming. All the signs are there that you're going to die someday. And it could be soon. Well, it will be soon. Because our life is like a breath. Isn't that what the Word of God says? It's like a vapor. And it just kind of, it comes up for, like if you ever watch steam coming out of a pot on the stove, it comes up for just a second and then it's gone. And that's what life is. And when you're 15, 16, 14, 13, 20, 30, you don't understand that because you think you're bulletproof. You do. You do. You think you're bulletproof. And I could take you to Louisville Memorial Cemetery over in Shively, and I could show you a lot of people I went to school with that thought they were bulletproof and died before they were 25. So we're not bulletproof. My angel got a lot of wear on him keeping me this long, but praise God, he's got me in the good soil now. Praise the Lord. For it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. You have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you trusted in your own way in the multitude of your mighty men. You know, God always, can you think of a time in the Bible when God didn't try to prepare his people for an earth-shattering event? Think about it. Tell me some earth-shattering events where he prepared the people in the Word of God. Flood, that's the one I was thinking of. He gave them 120 years to repent. The flood's coming. It's going to rain. The flood's coming. Everybody's going to die. Anything else? Moses. Moses, hail the deliverer comes. You know, they were promised a deliverer, weren't they? For a long time. How long were they in captivity? 400 years, I believe. Wasn't it? Or am I thinking between the Old and New Testament? I think it was 400 years, which is kind of odd. They went 40 years, and it isn't wild the way numbers click, 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 click in the Bible, man. It's amazing. So there's a lot more than that. I think Sodom and Gomorrah was warned. Well, Lot was warned. Who? Nineveh, yes, Nineveh. And you know, the Nineveh story is amazing to me, and it tells you how important it is to pray. It tells you how important it is to pray because he said, I will destroy Nineveh in how many days? I don't remember. Was it 3 days? He didn't say if you don't repent. He said, I am going. He done set his heart to destroy Nineveh because it was wicked. And then he sent a prophet to preach. And he ran away from the call because he hated these Ninevites. He hated them. He thought, good, praise God, they're going to die. No, really, he did. They're going to fry, man. I'm glad. And finally, he had a big fish swallow him up and spit him out on the shore. And Nineveh was a great city. I think it took, I'm going to forget how many days it took to walk around this city. But he went and preached. He didn't preach. He said, God's going to kill y'all. God's going to wipe y'all out in 3 days. That's it. It said they put on sackcloth and ashes, and they repented, and they fasted, and they even had their animals fast. And God looked down on that and he said, I can redeem this place because of repentance. God said, I can redeem America if people will pray. And it's starting to come to fruition. Praise God, it's starting to come to fruition. It's a long ways off. It's going to take a lot more prayer anyway. I'm getting way, way off. Come back. Luke 1, and I'm just going to read you part of the, what do they call it? Nativity or something like that? I think it's a good thing to read. While he's worshiping this morning, I was thinking of Misty Edwards, right? He's not a baby in a manger anymore. He's not a broken man on a cross. He didn't stay in the grave, and he's not staying in heaven forever. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive! And I thought, when you just blanket sing that, you would think there's no value in Christmas. There's no value in the cross. That's not the case at all, and I never thought that, but we got to look back at what happened. We got to look back at the presence and the joy and the miracles of the Lord. We need to look back to the cross. We need to remember what he did. We need to look back to his birth. In spite of, it's become a big day for the Hooten family. I mean, they're prospering through this time of year and suffering. Really, and suffering. But you know, it's never what God meant for it to be. And so, let's just read it. Let's just read it because God is good, and God prophesied this all through the Old Testament. He prophesied Jesus' first coming over 300 times. And he prophesied his second coming over 700 times. So that tells you that. See, you always wonder why the Jews missed it. Why they missed Jesus and they didn't know it. Still don't know it's Jesus. Most of them. It's because they were looking at those 700 wonderful prophecies of what life's going to be like when he comes the second time. The first time he come as a suffering servant, he come as a Lamb of God. He came as basically, they didn't even get that. See, they just kind of separated the suffering and they separated the Messiah, the true Messiah, and they just seen him coming in the air and fixing everything and wiping out sin and taking care of everything. But that's coming, see. The people, when Jesus came, they didn't know he was coming. It took some heathen wise men who worshiped the stars, it took some heathen wise man to come into Jerusalem and go, hey, where's this new king at? What new king, said Herod? The new king, king of the Jews. Well, I'm the king of the Jews, but tell me more about this so I can go worship him, right? So everybody was surprised. The wise men knew it. They knew there was a king prophesied. They knew there was a king coming. Praise the Lord. Go to Luke chapter 1 if you want to read along. If you don't, it's okay. Before I read this, do you ever, I was listening to Proverbs in the, I think it was a Good News translation. Do you know how many people he called stupid? And you can look around and go, yeah, that's stupid. Yeah, that is stupid. That's really stupid. But the majority of society don't get it. They're just going down the toilet. Y'all ever been to Holiday World, boys? What do you call that thing that does this? I don't know what they call it, but I call it the toilet bowl. That water ride where you go down the ramp and you get in this. Y'all caught the toilet bowl? Me too. Praise God. That's good. Let's look at What was Israel, what was Jerusalem like in the days Jesus came? What was it like? What kind of government did they serve? Roman occupation, which was, they weren't even citizens, were they? Now, Paul was a citizen, but it was something you had to buy, or unless you were born a Roman, you didn't even have the right to be a citizen. What else about the Roman Empire? Was it nice? And tell me something about the Roman Empire, brother. What comes out?
I would believe it had been really strict back then, for as far as the Roman laws and the way they ruled over the Jewish people.
Yeah, you're right. They were very strict. Like Putin? And if you look at the society, what was the society like? Was it righteous? Was it what? Wicked. Like what? Perverse, drunkenness, orgies, wife swapping. All this stuff ain't nothing new. It was all going on in the Roman Empire. And God let it go on for a good while, right? And something else I looked up that I didn't know, they had to pay 10% tax to the church, not tax. They had to pay 10% to the church, and they had to pay another 10% for the temple tax, and they had to pay another 3% for the poor tax. So that right there was 23%. And by the time Rome got through with them, they were paying 65% of their income to taxes. So does that kind of ring a bell? We're not there yet. But if they keep heaping more social programs on, it'll get there. Amen? Okay, we'll read the Christmas story now that I've ruined it for you. What a horrible place it was. What a horrible place it was. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set order, oh boy, that's deep, set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered to us, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus. I think Theophilus meant righteous or good man's what it meant, which is kind of neat. That you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was one of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both what? Righteous before God, walking in some of the commandments and every now and then some of the ordinances of the Lord. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, it said all, not some. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Seemed like every time somebody was in the presence of an angel, they got fearful, didn't they? Wow. But the angel said to him, they must be little bitty things with wings and a bow and arrow and a heart. No. I wouldn't be afraid of that, would you? The angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife, what was his prayer, you think? Elizabeth's barren. I want a son. I want a child. Your prayers are heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So he took a Nazarite vow, right? Which was, could you? Think you can? What a Nazarite vow is? I know Lou Engel's son took it. I know that they don't cut their hair. Don't eat raisins. Don't drink wine. Don't drink hard drink. They consecrate their life to one purpose generally, right? And he's, you know, God is raising up a generation of young people. You know, and it's not for everybody, but John the Baptist was one of a few, or one that we know of. Samson was, but I mean in that time slot, yeah, Samson was, and he didn't live real righteous, did he? I don't think he obeyed the Nazarite vow, but he still had great strength and power and anointing, didn't he? But he's raising up a generation, and I believe there's a few that are called and chosen. They're going to forsake marriage. They're going to forsake children. They're going to forsake houses and things and maybe some of them for a season, but some of them will probably forsake it their whole life. And we look at that and say, oh, man, they can't have no fun, you know. You always look at it in that vein, but it's not like that because they have great joy in what they do. They have great purpose in what they do. They have great passion, as we should, right? I was reaching for my glasses. They're not up there. And Zacharias, being the great man of faith that he was, said to the angel, how shall I know this? I'm an old dude. I'm 80-something years old, and Elizabeth ain't far behind. And you tell me, angel, that we're going to have a child? You ain't been to my house lately, have you? Ain't no children coming to our house. Now, think about that a minute. 80-something years old. I am an old man. He didn't call his wife an old lady, did he? My wife is well advanced in years. Donna, you're not well advanced in years, but we're getting there. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel. Whoa! He was one of the archangels, wasn't he? There was Gabriel. There was, help me, Michael. Those are the two. Lucifer, yeah, he took a U-turn. You're right, he was the most anointed cherub, wasn't he? Just goes to show you can have all anointing in the world and fall on your butt. You can. You can. I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring to you these glad tidings. Behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day all these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Boy, what if we went mute every time we didn't believe God? We couldn't come worship this morning. We couldn't preach, couldn't do anything. The people waited for Zacharias. He was in there. He was ministering to the Lord. It was his turn to go into the Holy of Holies. And he marveled that he lingered there so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. Come here, Kristen. Mind reading a little bit? I'm tired of reading, and I don't read real well anyway. When I'm reading a lot, I get kind of, and I start preaching. I just want to read.
Okay. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. And he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house.
We'll do the rest next week. Thank you. That was much better, wasn't it? Praise the Lord. So when all these things going on here, God was preparing the way, wasn't he? He was preparing the way for people to believe, and he wrote it all down in the Word of God. And that's why we have church. That's why we read the Bible, to build up our holy faith, to give us a way in the wilderness, amen, to give us something to believe in that's bigger than us. Amen, you know, we are called to be above this world, you know. And I just think, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and nothing was made that was made without him. Him who? Him, the Word. It's the same as it was when the worlds were framed. Amen? Right now, you will never be made into the image and the likeness of God without the Word of God in you. You will not be made into what God has for you unless you believe the Word and live the Word. I said, believe the Word. Believe the Word. Zachariah said, No. He still gave him the miracle. Mary embraced the Word. She just said, well, Lord, she was making it clear, I have not been. I am a virgin. How many of y'all believe? I don't care if you believe it or not, but how many of y'all know that Mary was a virgin? Mary gave birth to a human child without the help of a man. Y'all believe that? Do you really believe that? Does the grain of everything on this planet go against that? Does the grain of everything in America and school teachings go against that? Amen. You got to have something to stand on. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is going to get real weird and really flake you out. In the beginning, God created everything out of nothing with a word. He spoke and it was. In spite of what your biology teacher tells you, that is the Word of God. God created everything. Nothing evolved from nothing. That's not the way it was. It didn't happen that way. You can believe it if you want to, but you'll be tormented all your life believing the rest of the Bible. You got to believe the foundational belief that God created everything in the beginning. And it didn't evolve. In fact, it got worse. I believe Adam and Eve were a lot further along than we are because sin took what was perfect and tore it down. Listen, lust. People running around on their wives. Wives running around on their husbands because of lust, because they don't obey the precepts of God, because they get pulled in by the enemy's lustful thoughts that he places in your mind. Because you don't renew your mind with the Word of God, you're tempted. You don't renew your mind with the Word of God, you are tempted. And when that temptation has come to fruition, it brings death. I'm telling you the way to flee youthful lust is what? Run! Yeah, don't feed it for sure. It says to run from youthful lust because Solomon will tell you what it will do to you when it's fully conceived. Solomon was a man with a lot of experience with lust, wasn't he? Run, Joseph, run. He had he had 300 wives and 700 concubines? Something like that. Solomon did. Wow. That's crazy. Things ain't changed much, though. Listen, boys, listen, would you please? Put that bubble away or something, would you? See, it's not that cool. It's not as cool as the Word of God. You think about it. Who's got 700 concubines and 300 wives? I don't know how many images of pornography are on the internet, but I'd say you got way more than that if you're dabbling in that. You got concubines coming at you left and right, man, you know? You got to put that youthful lust down. You got to honor your mom and dad. If you don't, you don't get long life. Man, that's a pretty heavy promise, isn't it? Well, praise the Lord. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to all. To all and to all a good eternity. I praise God for the Word of God. Listen. This ain't a Christmas. It never is. And I'm speaking to young people predominantly because I do work with them, try to. But when I was y'all's age, you were what, 16 and how old are you, brother? 17, 14, 15, 13. Wow, you're right there. What about you? 17? What about you, hon? 13, 14. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to rob you of a year. You'll want that back someday. What about you, young lady? How old are you? 24. I thought you was. What's that? Oh yeah, Zoe. I'm sorry. 20. Well, you're out of the teenage years. Everything changes then. You get all the craziness leaves. What about you, hon? 13, 14, 17. 15. What about you? 16? And the reason I say this is I praise God. Listen, I praise God. How old's your son there? 11? Well, not quite there at that age yet. You, brother, you 20? 22. Yeah. You didn't want to get robbed. Anybody I leave out that's young? Chris, I'm sorry, you're 16? Oh, come on, that's a good age, man. You get to drive. Get to drive to church and youth group. You don't ever think about going nowhere else. I'm just speaking to y'all as one that used to, used to be a teenager. When I was your age, Baron, I had longer hair than you did, brother. And it was pretty and it was blonde. Beware of pretty blonde hair. It goes nowhere. I pray that curse is not upon thee. Did you have blonde hair, Jason? Yep. Let me look around here. Well, that's okay. I won't discriminate on anybody because they got blonde. Blonde hair is beautiful when you're young. What's wrong, honey? Quit beating that child, would you? My God. Anyway, what I wanted to say out of all this is, guys, you don't have to go through, you don't have to go through what I went through. I'm probably the only one that rebelled as a teenager. I rebelled real hard. Just enjoy your family in these years, because you'll want to go back and take it back someday, but you'll be sorry that the grief you caused your mama and the gray hair that you put on her head, and you'll be sorry when you think about how your daddy went out and he worked and he came home and he'd sweated and worked all day, and so you could have food and you could have things. And you know, when I hear a young person say, "We never done nothing for me." Really? Really? Who wiped your stinky butt? Who wanted to wipe that filthy stuff off your butt and smell it? And who wanted to do that when you were a little baby? Who wanted to feed you in the middle of the night? Clean up puke. What else do they do? Right on the walls. I mean, you know, all the stuff that kids do. But they loved you unconditionally. Now, some have better than others, but just know how much your family loves you. Just because they give you a harsh word every now and then doesn't mean they don't love you. It means that they do love you. Well, you need to listen to Proverbs on the Good News Translation. Beat the child. Beat the child. Beat, 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 beat the child. Yeah. Whoop them, whoop them, whoop them, whoop them, whoop them, whoop them. You don't say punch them, punch them, punch them, punch them. But sometimes you feel like a punch, 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 punch. You feel like it a lot, like wham! You think you can handle me, boy? Wham! This is going on the World Wide Web, and we're going to be in trouble. Child abuse, teaching child abuse. Well, listen, I know this is all funny and stuff, but we need adults. If grown-ups, if you've never repented for what you put your mom and daddy through, I really feel like you need to come up to this altar and repent, because, you know, you could break that curse. Maybe you were a wild child, and maybe you went the ways of the world. Maybe you rebelled against mom and dad. You need to repent of that. You need to get it under the blood. Not that God hadn't forgiven you blanket, but there's something about making things right. And if you got a mom and dad and you're estranged from them, you know what? You need to go to them and say, "Look, forgive me. I was a real," and they're going to go, "What are you talking about? We always loved you." They're going to say that. But just to go and tell them, "Man, I have been a jerk. Man, I am sorry that I went my own way. I thank you for all you've done for me. I thank you." Because Lord knows, not all of us have a wonderful, perfect home life. Some of y'all anymore have a horrible home life. But anyway, just forgive them. If they haven't given you what, if they haven't been a mom and dad they should have been, just forgive them. But make it right. Prepare the way of the Lord, that when revival comes, when the power of God comes, you won't be bound up with a bunch of demons of unforgiveness. You can minister to other people. So, and I know the young people, they're going to be used mightily. Mightily, mightily, mightily. They got so many gifts and so much energy. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, God. There's so much to thank you for, Lord. I thank you for breath. I thank you for life. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for making us in your image. I thank you for giving us the Bible, the Word of God. And I thank you, Lord, for loving me enough to make sure I had a copy of it, several copies of it. And Lord God, would you birth a hunger in our hearts to read and consume and love the Word of God that will transform us and change us and make us into your image. And Lord, breathe the breath of eternity on us, God, that we wouldn't live in the here and now, God, that we would live in eternity. That, God, we would be eternally minded. God, we'd be kingdom minded. And you'd break the spirit of rebellion in Jesus' name. I proclaim right now by the blood in the name of Jesus, I break the spirit of rebellion, which is witchcraft. I break that off of us in the name of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, you have no place. I proclaim that we break the spirit and the power and the demon of Jezebel right now in the name of Jesus, which is trying to destroy this nation. I pray, God, you would raise up mighty men of renown, God, men that would cling to the Word of God, men that would not be macho because of their sexual escapades, God, men that would not be famous for their drunkenness, God, men that would not be famous for their drugs, God, men that would be famous for fighting the good fight of the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. We rebuke the spirit of worldliness right now that's trying to consume us, God. We break free and we run from it in Jesus' name, God. Lord, give us strength. Lord, give us vision. Give us that finish line anointing, God, which don't mean I'm dragging across the finish line. It means I'm on a dead run and I collapse in the arms of Jesus when I get across there. Praise God. Praise God, there's plenty of time to rest, God. Encourage us, God. Encourage us that are weak. And God, I just pray the best Christmas, really the best Christmas these folks have ever had, Jesus. I pray, God, that families would be healed. God, I thank you that families would sit down and worship you while they sit around the tree. God, that things would just be different, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If the Lord spoke to you and you need to come to this altar and just repent, please come. God wants to heal you. God wants to touch you. God wants to forgive. God wants to change your mind about things. You know, it's so easy to follow Jesus when you agree with him. When you're fighting it all the time, it's no fun. It's really no fun. You got to surrender. You got to die. So if you've not surrendered or if you've backslidden and you're away from God right now or if you just need to get something right with him, come on up. If you need prayer, come on up. And God bless finances right now, supernatural finances, and cure all diseases, God, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.